Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good takes.
But so many poor choices. This is the Homance Chronicles, and I am Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
Again, a brief panic. I thought today was my day.
Why do you keep thinking that it's your day when it's not your day, when I have it clearly labeled?
Trauma response.
All you have to do is look at your calendar.
I know.
Instead, you want to live up in the dread. You
just want to live pops in the dread. No, it pops up for me. No, it's like those random... So it's a lack of self-trust because the random intrusive thoughts that I, for some reason, believe. So I'm working on it, but it was only a slight second of panic today. No big deal.
All right. Well, yeah. As long as it only happened for a slight second when it popped up that it was the meeting and you weren't like wondering about it all day and just avoiding looking at it.
Gosh, no, I'm good at self-service. No, I think it was actually this morning when I woke up, I was like, I gotta do my, oh, okay. Yeah. Nope. Not today.
No. And I was up kind of late, doing mine. So we're going to hope it's coherent.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I've had a very, very busy like week, like slash, well,
life,
yeah, life. Yep. It's been a little different lately. I got really thrust back into life for sure.
Yep. You
and sure did. I'm trying to do all the things and it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
That's how we achieve burnout. Let's not do that this year.
Hence why I'm like, oh, I stayed up pretty late finishing this story. And then all day today, I'm like, I don't know why I'm yawning. Because I had like 5 hours of sleep or less, you know?
Yeah, that's not enough. Nearly.
It is not, especially when I like would do great with like 9.
I'm telling you.
I'm a major sleeper. I always have been.
I have not been able to really fully sleep in until the last couple of weeks. And this weekend I took the opportunity to sleep in both days. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, I don't want to get up. Usually I'm fueled by anxiety and I'm up before my alarm clock goes off, but not today.
Yeah. The weather swing here in Michigan has also been affecting my allergies, which don't go away. Like it's a year round thing, but
right.
Yesterday it was nice out. It was warm. And I saw some poor ice sculptures that were melted away.
Well, that's fine.
And I know. And it's fine. It's like, oh, that's a sign of spring I want to see.
Right. Well, I guess anyway. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow or whatever. We're going to have short rest. Spring is coming. I don't know what the fuck. I think I just stroked out a little bit. It's kind of painful.
It was painful to watch.
Sorry, y'all. This tater has been mashed. It's the end of my day.
Basically, the groundhog did or did not see his shadow, whatever the one is that makes this winter shorter. Which I should know. It's my brother's birthday on Groundhog Day. So my entire life, I've been acutely aware of Groundhog Day. And my dad used to put him outside and ask him if he could see his shadow. And so the ultimate dad joke has lived with me my entire life. And I still don't have it committed to memory is if he does, is it good or is it bad? I'm not sure.
Not one clue.
Got to Google it every time.
Every time. And this year, so we were talking about it at work, and this year, apparently they start at like 6:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. They start this whole situation.
Yeah, no, and it's a whole ceremony.
Yeah, and my boss is like, I don't even understand why. The sun doesn't even come up. It's not even up yet. How can we do shadows without the sun? And then somebody replied in the team chat with a screenshot of the sun rising time, and it was 6:56 a.m. I was like, oh my God. Before most of us get online, Phil has came. He has made the decision, and he has gone back to his hole.
I have been running across a lot of really good TV lately. And there is one show that I have not watched yet, but I'm excited about, and it's Hove History Adjacent, because Ooh. It's called Feud or The Feud, and it's Capote versus the Swans. The Swans are old, like, impactful women in, like, politics and Hollywood and stuff.
Hell yeah.
And it's about Truman Capote's writing about their lives, like getting really, really close to them and then sharing all their gossip. Ooh. It's a Ryan Murphy joint. So, you know, it's going to be like artsy and stuff. It's on FX or Hulu.
Here for this. Here for this.
First episode came out. So I'm excited to learn about more ladies of history, right? And try to see if I could put any pieces together. Maybe one of them, like we have done a story on before, you know?
Right.
Ryan Murphy actually did do a series on Joan. No. Oh, crap. Why, when it's time to, like, know things, you don't know them?
Are you talking about, like, Joan Rivers?
No. Joan's not even the right word. Oh, no, Joan is the right word. Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
There you go.
So he did a similar kind of backstory. And so the first series was those two, which I did the story on Betty Davis and Joan Crawford, actually, mm-hmm. for the podcast. Yeah. And so... So the first series was just called Feud, and it was about their feud. Now, this is the second season, but it's a completely different story, different actresses, yeah. and everything. Here and so that's this. Why it's called The Feud, Capote versus the Swans, because, mm-hmm. yeah. So anyway, this. So, you know, I'm excited to see if we can add anybody to the list here or, you know, get some ideas. Yeah. Because last night I did have to reference the list. I normally have some source of inspiration of how I come across my Hove history, but not this week.
Happens to the best of us.
I just referenced the list.
That's why it's there. That's why it's there.
Yeah. So do you have any other housekeeping, or would you like me to jump right in?
Oh, no, we can jump in. I'm ready.
All like right.
Excited for your story.
All right. So our Hove history for today is Margaret Hamilton. What do you know this name?
Yes.
There are two Margaret Hamiltons.
Oh, okay.
One is an actress.
Mm-hmm.
The one I'm doing is a computer scientist.
Okay, cool.
So when you research them, you actually do, like, I had to use her middle name to make sure I didn't pull any stuff for the actress. So I don't know who you were thinking of, but I am doing the scientist. So Margaret Hamilton, she's an American computer scientist who was one of the first computer software programmers. She created the term software engineer to describe her work.
The chill bumps.
I know. She helps write the computer code for the command and lunar modules used for the Apollo missions to the moon.
Man. It's so epic.
I know. Are you ready?
I got goosebumps.
Margaret Hamilton was born Margaret Elaine Hayfield on August 17th, 1936 in Paoli, Indiana. However, it's very strange that I just randomly picked this because she's connected to us. Her family moved to Michigan.
Ah, no shit.
Yep. And she actually went, like, they lived in Hancock. Houghton Hancock is the area where Michigan Tech is, where my brother and half my family went to school.
Oh, dang.
And Michigan Tech is up in the Upper Peninsula, and it's like at the very top, like tip of the Upper Peninsula. And so it's really the only city that I know that's up there.
That's how they like it. And that's fine.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it is up there. So it's about a 9-hour drive northwest of Detroit. Like, you could be in another state faster than you could be the top of Michigan.
You could have traversed two states by the time you reach the top of Michigan on occasion.
Yes. Part of the problem is that, you know, you have that whole lake in the middle, right?
Right.
So you gotta drive around it.
That motherfucker.
Yeah. So she studied mathematics at the University of Michigan in 1955 before transferring to Earlham College, where her mother actually had been a student before.
All right, go blue though, just real quick.
Yep. So she earned a bachelor's degree in mathematics with a minor in philosophy in 1958. She cites a professor of hers, Florence Long. She was the head of the math department at Earlham, is helping her to have a desire to pursue mathematics and become a mathematics professor. And then she credits her father, who was a poet, and her grandfather, who was a headmaster, for introducing her to the philosophy part of studies, because neither of those areas had any females.
No.
There were like zero women in those studies.
Isn't it crazy? Like, in my opinion, math can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And it really depends on who teaches you, it turns out. I mean, with a lot of things, right?
Yeah. But I mean, fun fact, I cried in class while trying to learn long division when I was in fifth grade.
And I was so excited about it because I could do it.
I'm much better writer.
Yeah. I would race home to do all of my homework before anything else because I was so excited about my math homework. Something was wrong with me.
Oh, it's just, it's odd. Yeah. There's like numbers people and words people, and I'm a words person.
Well, I can do both, just not verbally all the time. I'm written. Yes.
I mean, obviously I can do math if I want to, it's just not enjoyable. Okay. So while she was studying at Earlham College, she met her husband, James Hamilton, and she actually briefly taught high school math and French after she graduated from college in order to support her husband, who was working on his undergraduate degree at Harvard. He eventually went to Harvard Law. But she anticipated or wanted to get her graduate degree at a later time. But so she's working basically to support the family because they moved to Boston so he can go to Harvard. And she thought she was going to do her graduate program at Brandeis University. However, she never went. Because in mid-1959, while pregnant, she's 23, she begins working for Professor Edward Norton Lorenz in the meteorology department at MIT.
Oh my God. That's so cool. Fun fact, my sister's a meteorologist.
I know. There were so many connections.
Wild.
The Massachusetts Institute of Technology, most people know it as MIT, is where she developed software for predicting the weather.
She developed just a whole ass model for predicting the weather. Does anybody know the amount of math that goes into that?
I know.
Let me tell you. My sister took years of math to be able to do something like that. She's all willy-nilly while pregnant, just creating these math models that have pattern predictions in them.
Supporting the family. Only income, as far as I could tell. Pregnant. Husband's trying to be a lawyer. And she's over here programming on the LGP 30 and the PDP 1 computers.
Gotta go across the room to type. One thing of code takes 10 minutes because she's got to traverse the room.
Yes. So she's quoted, though, as saying it's one of the best things that she ever did. She had never even been near a computer before.
That just goes to show you, it doesn't matter what tools you have. If you're a genius, you're just a fucking genius. That's that.
So her work contributed to Lorenz's publications on chaos theory. And
no shit.
He actually credited her in a time when women could not get credit. And we talked about this a little bit with the show I watched called Lessons of Chemistry, Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV, where it's a fictional show, but she had to have a man, she had to work with a man in order to have her name on anything. And even though she was a lead, she couldn't be listed as the lead.
Oh, it makes me sick.
So although Margaret was not the lead here, but she contributed, they did give her, he did give her credit, which is not common for that era.
Kudos to you, Lorenz. Kudos to you.
Right. So then, you know, computer science and software engineering weren't really like a thing yet. So you
she
didn't
made
learn
it up.
Yeah, you didn't learn this in school. So she basically everything is hands-on experience. She had her daughter in November of 1959 and continued her current job like through her maternity leave and came back and stuff. And then in 1961, like 2 years later, kudos to her, she hired and trained a woman as her replacement.
Yes. You
Ellen...
give back to the community.
Yes, Miss Ellen Fetter is who replaced her. And if you Google Ellen Fetter, she is also credited with contributing to the chaos theory.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I got goosebumps.
Yes.
This kind of shit makes me emotional.
I know. I know. It does. Margaret recalled how one of her male colleagues once asked her how she could take a programming job when she had a baby at home. And she reportedly said, well, you know, you have to do what's right for you, and I have to do what's right for me. And she goes, and all he said was, oh, okay.
Yeah, what the fuck was he expecting out of that? Some sort of justification? Like, get F. No, no, no.
She would bring her daughter with her. I don't know when she was a baby, but definitely when she was a kid, she'd bring her daughter with her to work.
Why not?
And especially if she had to be there on weekends or whatever. And there, I didn't include this in the story, and just because I'm now doing this like offshoot, but there was a time that her daughter was like playing around with something and it triggered something else. And so they called it the Lauren bug. Her daughter's name is Lauren.
That's adorable.
And it came up like a couple of years later when they were doing testing on something else. And they were like, oh, it's the Lauren bug. Like they quickly were able to identify the problem because her daughter had basically created a or not created, but had
they recreated the problem that she created.
But not on purpose, but
right,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were able to identify it.
Man, see, things happen for a reason.
So from 1961 to 1963, Margaret worked on the massive U.S. SAGE, which is the semi-automatic ground environment. It is the first U.S. air defense system at Lincoln Laboratories. So she basically wrote software for a program to identify enemy aircraft.
Again, it's like she's creating these markers in code that people still don't know how to do today.
No, yeah, like it's still used today. It's just basically gone from the old way of doing it to the new way of like our new computers. That's all. Like it's still the same thing.
She created again a model for recognizing something without
identifying enemy aircraft.
Yeah. Without having the tools we have today, like imagine what TV was like in the 90s. Just consider, if you can, remember that for a moment. The picture is grainy and terrible. She didn't even have that.
No. I'm going to talk about the process.
Yes,
I'm
please
gonna talk
do.
about it.
I don't think people
So
get it.
no. So then she starts becoming more interested in software reliability. So again, she's quoted as saying, "When the computer crashed during the execution of your program, there was no hiding. Lights would be flashing, bells would be ringing, and everyone, the developers and computer operators, would come running to find out whose program was doing something bad to the system."
Panic, panic, panic. So not only is something happening, I'm also sweaty. That sucks.
So it became very important to her that she have less bugs or no bugs in her software because she didn't want people being alerted when there
Yeah.
was a mistake, basically. Like
Yeah.
computer, like so the reliability of things working the way they're supposed to became very important to her because she was like, Jesus, this is dramatic.
Oh God, so shameful. Oh
Yeah.
shit. I missed a period in my code. Wee 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 wee. Like what? Come on.
So she was asked to travel for a course on the instructions for a computer lab situation, and she basically said that she couldn't travel because of her daughter, and she offered to learn, like take the course on her own and learn the same things that those people were learning, but on her own time.
Wow.
So she is quoted as saying, "So everybody went to the course. I don't remember. It's 6 to 8 weeks, and I stayed back by myself. And by the time they got back, I had done the majority of the work that needed to be done." So she was like,
She's a fucking machine.
"Yes." But then that leads to the fact, though, that she did get divorced in 1967, like around this time. So.
Yeah, well. I mean, let's be honest for a minute. She put in the work. She put in the effort to sustain family life and all that fun stuff. Like, she was at one point dedicated to the fam. But then let's be honest for a minute. She was producing.
Yes.
She was fucking producing. And
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be anybody's wife when I'm producing like that. Rightfully so.
Well, no, I mean, she got
In that
remarried.
era.
She got remarried 2 years later, so she did like being a wife. I just think that it was her whole life because the guy that she married next, his name was actually Dan Lickley. They worked together at MIT and he was in aerospace engineering and programming. Like, I feel like she's just one of those people where it was just her whole life. Like,
All in.
she was always either there or if she was at home, she was probably thinking about it or talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speculating.
Prisoner of passion.
I'm speculating. Obviously, I don't know this woman. She is alive, though.
We could ask her.
Yeah. So she actually ended up seeing a news report that MIT's instruction lab won a contract to work on NASA's Apollo project.
MIT,
And
Massachusetts.
yes.
Okay.
And so her response to that after she saw the news report was, "Well, I guess I got to delay graduate school again because I'd like to work on this program that puts all these men on the moon." That's the quote.
Hold on. Let me just pioneer again, please.
Yes.
That's the direct quote.
Yeah.
She's iconic. Why do we not know about her? Like, come
Don't know.
on.
Well, she doesn't do a lot of interviews, apparently. And so
So
one of the,
what? She doesn't need to.
I know, one of the articles that I read, they were like so grateful and appreciative that she was doing an interview with them. Like, they just were in awe. And it's funny you use the word pioneer because that's what they were like. She basically felt like she had no other choice than to pioneer this.
Yes. Like, if she needed it, she had to fucking create it. That's
Yeah.
pioneering. I'm sorry. I don't care
Yeah.
who you are, what
Yeah.
era,
So
what
it's just
time.
funny. You use the same word as them because they
Well,
were like, she basically felt like she had no choice other than to be a pioneer.
it's just a legendary title, in my opinion. So,
It is.
fuck yes.
So during the time of the Apollo space missions, Margaret led the team that created the onboard flight software for NASA's Apollo command modules and lunar modules. She was in charge of the Apollo and Skylab onboard flight software effort, while also serving as the director of software engineering division at MIT.
Again, just iconic.
So during this time at MIT, she wanted to give their software legitimacy. So just like with other engineering disciplines, she wanted to give it its due respect. And as a result, she made up the term software engineering. And that was to distinguish it from other kinds of engineering. Because, you know, like I said, there was no schools or anybody teaching. I'm going to guess this is somewhere in the late 60s.
Okay. That sounds about right.
67, 68. So Margaret specifically concentrated on the software for the Apollo so that it would detect system errors and then recover that information in a computer crash.
Mm-hmm.
So on July 20th, 1969, Margaret's now 33 years old. Now, remind you, like, this woman's doing this in her 20s.
I'm over here thinking she's probably around 45 by now. Nah.
No.
She's just creating data log process. Like, I'm just...
So she's 33.
The practicality of it all is what I'm here for, honestly.
Yes. It's 1969. The lunar module Eagle from Apollo 11 mission is approaching the moon's surface. The computers begin flashing warning messages. And for a moment, mission control is facing like a go, no go decision. But because there was a lot of confidence in the software that Margaret and her team developed, they just told the astronauts to proceed.
Trust so the process.
The software allowed the computer to recognize error messages and ignore low priority tasks. So it continued to guide Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin onto the moon.
Yeah. Yeah. No big deal. Don't worry about that. That little flap is not a big deal. We're going to suppress that warning.
Yes.
Because what's the bigger deal is that you land on the fucking moon. So.
Yes. Yes.
Just incredible.
So it quickly became clear that the software was not only informing everyone that there was a hardware related problem, but also that the software is now compensating for said problem.
Yes. Autonomy.
So
she invented autonomy. Let's be real. Call it how it is.
So Margaret says that an investigation eventually showed the astronauts' checklist was at fault, not the software.
Oh.
So the checklist was telling them to set the rendezvous radar hardware switch incorrectly. So fortunately, the people at Mission Control trusted our software, she said. And then with only fuel for 30 more seconds of flight, Neil Armstrong reported the Eagle has landed.
Oh, my goodness. Could you?
Can you imagine? Your chest is tight. Your butthole's tight.
Your armpits are wet.
Sweating. Oh, God almighty. 30 more seconds of fuel.
The 11 between your middle, your eyebrows is very deep, touching your skull.
Yes, because this is before Botox.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But how did he get fuel to get back home anyway?
That's a whole other thing. You just got to get into the Earth's gravitational pull. That's all I'm going to say. Just aiming.
Can you imagine they just like chucked a fuel tank out? They're like, well, it'll get there.
Fuck.
It'll make it there eventually.
Fuel tank fishing. It's fine. It's an orbit now. Just fish.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, how did they leave? So anyway, all the Apollo project's code had been extensively pre-tested in simulations. And Margaret worked with an assortment of engineers and quote unquote hardware people who she recalled had been unfamiliar with the word software.
Well, yes, because hardware is mechanical, right? And that's.
Yes, yeah, so you physically, you can touch it, you know?
Yeah, it's analog. Software is like, it's the wizard behind the curtains, I'm sure, in that era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does this do?
So the hardware and software both looked identical in the simulation. So there was like a need to distinguish one from the other. But she said that software programmers were kind of like second-class citizens. Although they were the ones who'd take the stuff and make it run.
Right, because it's not
So,
tangible.
yeah. So she recalls like a lot of skepticism when she proposed having the two different areas named two different things. And then
So glad she did, though.
it says, and then one fateful day.
Dun dun dun.
Quote, this is I can't remember whose quote, like who said this, but from one of the articles, it's a guy narrating this, and he said one of the hardware gurus stood up in a big meeting saying, you know, Margaret's right. This is engineering, what you people are doing just as much as the stuff we're doing. And he said she's trying to formalize it, and I think it should become formalized. And because everyone respected this hardware guy, they said, okay.
You know, it takes one person. It's who you know.
Yep.
Well, good for him, though. I mean,
I know.
letting his ego take a bow while he recognizes that this woman is trying to organize an unknown space and giving her, the oomph she needs. That's
Yeah,
great.
I know.
She must have had just like the, like, she has got this probably this really great personality, too, I'm sure.
It seems like it based on her quotes,
Yeah, like,
because her quotes are
hilarious.
not, they're very like, I don't know. She's got like a chill vibe, I guess.
Yeah,
Like her
very
quotes are
reassured,
not,
self-assured.
like formulated. It's not pre-thought out. It's not using insane vocabulary or weird language or like, you
Or
know,
acting defensive.
even though she's super smart, there's nothing like condescending. She's like, well, we tried to work on this stuff, guys. Like, I don't,
We
you know,
just
we
remove emotions from all
can
of this and
we,
just
you
get shit
know,
done?
can we just get credit? We're the ones who made it work.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah. She,
that's how she
love her.
talks in these articles. So,
Love her. Practical. That's why she's so successful.
yeah. So when the Apollo missions were planned, the process of writing code began. This is where I'm telling people, listen, this is how this worked, right? So the process of writing code began on large sheets of paper. A
Yes.
key punch operator would create holes in paper cards, keying the codes into what were called punch cards.
Binary code.
So once everything looked good, the code was actually sent to Raytheon Factory, where it was mostly women, many of them former employees of New England textile mills, wove copper wire and magnetic cores into a long rope of wire. And with coding written in ones and zeros, the wire went through the tiny magnetic core when it was represented as one, and it went around the core as it was represented as zero. And this ingenious process created a rope that carried software instructions.
I just am blown away by the ingenuity.
And so Margaret says that these women were known as LOL. And she literally goes, not because they were funny.
It's not because they were funny. This is before.
It's not because they were funny. It was short for little old ladies.
Up. That's even more adorable. Come on. They had to have been hilarious then.
And Margaret herself was called the Rope Mother.
Oh my God, what a fucking fun fact. Trivia time. The
She's
Rope
called the Rope
Mother.
Mother of the little old ladies because they gotta put wire through holes in tea cards.
I just wish there were visuals to go along with this, like in real time, because the cartoons in my head are not cartooning enough for me.
But I did find in a separate article, which I have, I don't know who said this or where it came from, but in this other article, it was quoted, no software bug was ever found on any manned space flight Apollo mission.
That's what's up.
That's how
Precise
methodical. Yes.
she was.
Yeah.
Man, isn't that remarkable to think that she was like the opposite of human error?
Yes. Oh, she still is. She's still
Yes.
here with us.
Right. Living her best life, I hope, somewhere fancy.
Yeah, because all of this happened before she was 40. So
Jesus. Oh, I imagine I'm burnt out. I can't even. I'm not doing anything productive in society at the moment, not like this.
So Margaret's work guided the remaining Apollo missions that landed on the moon, as well as benefiting Skylab. Skylab was the first U.S. space station in the 70s.
Yes, thank you for that clarification, because
Yeah.
it sounds an awful lot like some Terminator bullshit now.
Oh, no. So in 1972, she's 36 years old. She leaves MIT and starts her own company.
Oh, finally.
So she, her first company, she calls it Higher Order Software. 14 years later, she launched another company called Hamilton Technologies Inc. And at her new firm, she created the Universal Systems Language,
Oh
which is
my
another step in
God.
making the process of designing systems more dependable.
That's
Because now,
insane.
now there's like a bunch of different coding languages.
Yes.
But in the 70s, or no, not in the 70s, it was 14 years later. So in the 90s, she's like, okay, this is going to get cray cray. We need to have
Yes.
a universal language, because
Yes.
you're going to get to a point where computers aren't going to be able to talk to each other if we all keep doing our own thing.
Right. It's like if you code in Spanish and if you code in Italian and you code in English, those codes can't speak to each other. So you have to create that universal language
Yeah.
to keep the shit moving. Man, she's remarkable. I want to like refer to her on everything. Maybe she could be a mentor.
Well, I mean, she is remarkable enough that NASA honored Margaret with the NASA Exceptional Space Act Award in 2003, acknowledging her contributions to software development and granted her the biggest financial prize that they had ever awarded a person at that time, which was $37,200, which in today's
Interesting choice.
money, it's, huh?
Interesting
I
choice.
know, I know. In today's money, it would be about 62,000.
Again, strange number, but cool. I'm
I
happy for
guess that's all
her.
they could pull out of the budget. I don't know, because
I
they
would,
said it was the most they ever paid somebody. So maybe like the person
but
before was a
I
round number, like a 35 or something. I don't know.
don't know. I don't know. I'd just prefer them to not pull money out of their budget because they're suffering and we need them, and just let somebody else give her that cash. But anyway, we're just here.
I
Sarah's
don't know
pay.
how it was working. And then in 2016, President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom,
Yeah,
noting
boy.
that her example speaks of the American spirit of discovery that exists in every little girl and little boy who know that somehow to look beyond the heavens is to look deep within ourselves.
Well said.
And Margaret is around 88 years old today, or not, in today, this year, whatever. Not her birthday.
Stroking out. It's fine. Margaret.
Her birthday is in August.
Oh, that makes sense.
She's a
And
Leo.
then it all. Oh, okay.
She's a Leo.
Well,
My
cool.
sources
Makes
today
sense.
were
The optics.
Wikipedia, Britannica, SmithsonianMag.com, TheNewStack.io, ComputerHistory.org, and ScientificWomen.net.
The rope mother. I love that so much. It's so funny to me. The rope mother and her LOLs.
Yes.
Like what? What did you just call me?
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing Margaret's story. That list has got a bunch of bangers on it, apparently, because every time we have one of those ladies, I'm just like blown away. So
I
good.
know. I know. And it was so intriguing because there were so many connections to us.
Yes, tons. It's crazy to think that we live in a space that has so much ingenuity and innovation, like the Michigan Chicago area. Well, yeah, Michigan Chicago area, and then like of course New England area, but it's incredible what comes out of the Michigan MIT, considering where it's at. It's got no influence, which maybe that is the positive of it. I can't tell you either way. I've never been, but people I know that have gone there have been like, yep, all there really is to do is just study. That's
Yeah,
it.
I mean, well, my brother, similarly was at Michigan Tech, and you drink a lot and you have somewhat of a college experience, but not really at the same time. Like it's
No.
a altered reality, I think, up there because there's so little to do and so few people.
Yeah, it's like a niche experience over holistic college. But like the just the incredible things that come out of it. And like
I mean,
I
she went to the Massachusetts one,
right.
Massachusetts MIT. But I, yes, to your point, like the genius and talent that comes out of Michigan, I'm,
Or even passes through it. Just like
yeah.
and how we're all connected. It like, you know, Michigan, New England, we have that intelligence connection. I don't know what you want to call it, whatever. But just like it's so incredible to think that these people are in our proximity.
I know. It kind of is the same little bit of a shocker as the Bissell.
Oh, the Bissell one still blows me away. I'm still
The
baffled.
vacuums were basically invented in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
By a woman and her husband. Gives you hope, you
So,
know?
I know it's crazy when you think about it. Like when you start thinking about all you, even like the pop stars and stuff that have come from Michigan, they really start adding up.
Yeah.
Actors and stuff, you're like, wow.
We're not really that group of ragtag slouches like they all seem to think we are. We're not hillbillies. We got it
I
figured
don't
out up
know if
here.
people think that or not about
No,
Michigan. I don't
hopefully
think
they
they
don't.
do.
I just don't, we don't need you here. So don't move here, but you can come visit. Like you can come visit. Just don't, we don't need you to move here. Leave our land alone, please and thanks.
Is it at a girl time?
I do believe, yes, it is at a girl time.
Okay.
Yes.
I have two because one, I'm confused on if it's an atta girl or not. I
All right.
actually, I, it's an entertaining story.
We make the rules, so let's have
Well, I'll do the boring one first, which is that I got my taxes done already. It is February 5th. The Super Bowl hasn't even happened, but I have my taxes done.
Remarkable. I just got more of my tax documents today in the mail. Like,
I know. I mean, well, I was forced, like, I had to, but,
I
like,
know.
I do. I have a little bit of, like, whiplash of how
Yes.
fast it happened.
No kidding.
And I spent my Friday night basically tracking down my documents because I didn't have everything in the mail either.
Yeah.
So I had to go download it all and print it
Yeah.
out and all that shit.
Hey, man, at least we have that option, but shame on those companies. They should be mailing that stuff out. Like, we don't have access to it still. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I think they have to mail by the 31st. You don't have to receive it by January
Yeah.
31st. You have
Yeah.
to mail it by the 31st. And so anyway, that's my pat on the back of like, holy shit, I actually got everything ready and had
Oh,
it
atta
all.
girl.
And
You had to do
I
what you had to
mean,
do.
I know, but like even on Friday, one of the pieces of paperwork wasn't ready. It just happened to be ready while I was in the accountant's office today.
Magic.
I know. I just was like, this is happening. We're just manifesting it or whatever.
We're just gonna go forward. Proceed.
Yeah. And then my other atta girl is I did kind of a Sarah move. So you might think it's okay, but I don't know if it is okay. I've been in my head about it.
Obviously, it's okay.
I've been in my head
If
about
it's
it.
labeled a Sarah move, clearly it's fine.
So I was at a local bar yesterday. There were quite a few people in there, and there was this one guy who came up to me and my two friends, and he's an older gentleman. He said 60s. I'm gonna say 70s. And he was talking really loud, and he was like sticking his phone in between us and everything. And I was like, oh my God, this guy. And I got up and went to the bathroom. I come back and he's still like in one of my friends' like faces, like telling her how he used to be a drummer of this band and showing her music videos and stuff.
Neat.
And so I come back and he's standing like in front of my chair and I'm like, excuse me, you know, like I'd like to sit down, like, excuse me. And he's like not really paying attention, right? Like, so he eventually moved and I sat down and then I don't know. I mean, I'm super, super tired. My patience has run thin. I wouldn't typically do this, but he had his phone like right in between me and my friend, and I like grabbed the phone out of his hand.
Fuck yeah, you would. I would have slapped it.
And
I would have slapped that bitch to the floor. All right, we're
he
done
was
with you.
fighting me. He was like aggressively holding on to it. He was fighting me. And all I did though, like my only intention was to pause the video. That's all I want. I could not handle it. I could not handle his phone on full blast in a bar that was also playing music
Nobody
full blast.
invited him to your table. That's the problem. He was uninvited. Get the fuck out of here, guy. I'm being nice to you by entertaining your presence, but now you're pissing me off. I would have slapped that bitch right out of his hand.
So I'm like trying to grab his phone and he's like fighting me, of course. Like, why was that the first thing I thought to do? Like, I normally use my words.
No,
so I
your words had failed you several times.
So I grab his phone. He finally lets go. I pause it and he's like, that's $1,000 phone. And I hand it right back to him. Like, that's all. I was like, pause here. Like, ah.
Just go away.
And he was like, that's $1,000 phone. And then apparently he left the bar.
Good. Goodbye.
And then my two friends, though, were like, oh, my God, that was so aggressive.
No.
Like, they were telling me how aggressive I was.
Were they
like,
enjoying his company?
No. No. And they were like, he was really fighting you on, you know, getting the phone. And they're like, oh, my. Like, they were, like, blown away by this action. And trust me, it's not an action I would normally take. My patience is very thin lately. And now I feel bad because they were like, but he's an old guy, you know?
So?
Like,
I'm
I was
sorry.
Like,
nope.
And
because
so
that old guy was could have been a young pervert at one point and never had to pay for any kind of his actions. And he's clearly not capable of reading social cues because nobody fucking wanted him there. Do not feel bad about that.
Well,
Don't.
So my one friend, I mean, she was being like way too nice. So I think
yes.
he thought that she wanted him there, but
probably.
I don't know. And so the whole situation was maybe misleading to him. So maybe he didn't get it. But then the bartender came over and she was like, oh, good. That guy's gone.
Yes. See what I mean?
She said that she had already alerted like the staff that they needed to watch him.
See, your gut was right. So your gut was telling you he's a nuisance. He's a bother and you can't fix it with words. So you got to physically get him
So that's
out of
what
your
I
way.
said to them when they were like, "You that was really aggressive, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, I don't think that guy was going to go away with words.
He's not.
I was
those
like,
people.
I go, I already kind of pushed him out of the way when I was like, I need to get in my chair.
Nope.
Excuse me, blah, blah, blah. I go, I really just don't think he was going to go away with words.
No.
And they just were
even
in,
if you,
they were in awe of the situation. And then I used my favorite murder line of, well, fuck politeness.
Yes.
This guy wasn't polite when he walked up to us.
No, I don't under. And like, that's the thing us women need to start reminding ourselves of. He wasn't invited. Nobody said, hey, guy, come tell us about your life. We came here to be with each other, not you. Like, get the fuck out of here. Not going to be polite or nice to people.
And I understand
anymore.
When you're sitting at a bar and it's a social occasion and there's a lot of people, like, you do tend to talk to people. But
sure.
Not that, like, but he was aggressive in the way he shot in, right?
Yes.
Like, he is yelling, playing loud music from his phone, totally like came in, interrupted us while we were talking.
Yeah.
Wasn't paying attention when I'm like trying to get in and out of my seat and stuff.
Mm-mm.
And so I'm like, I feel like aggression matched aggression. I don't
Probably.
Know.
Yeah, you're just, I don't know, speaking his language apparently.
But then I all day I've been like, oh, I feel bad.
Don't feel bad. Let me tell you something right now. Do not feel bad. Okay, I watched a documentary on Max. I think it's called A Lovely Picture, What a Lovely Picture, or something like that. And it's a story of this woman whose grandfather is a known pedophile. And he openly speaks about it. And he's got all of these people in his community that think, oh, he's such a great guy and such a nice man. He's not. He's a fucking pedophile. And he continued to, like, basically imprison his mom, her mom. Her grandmother, excuse me, and like this life of you can't tell anybody, I just have a really bad problem, you know, this type of thing. So I don't know, in my mind now, an old man doesn't deserve any other, like, unless
I actually said, I go, well, because he's older, he should know better.
Right. That's where
like,
I'm at. Like,
you've had a long time of women
socialization
telling
you should
you
know
how
better.
to treat us,
yes,
you know. So,
and that's where I'm at with this. Thank you for helping me articulate. At this stage,
yes,
at that age, that man should know better. And we're getting to the age where, when let's pretend he's in his 60s, that means he was in his 50s when, you know, we were in our 20s or whatever, right? I'm not mathing well, but point is, we're closer to that age now than ever. So that means they were with the times with us. They know better. So fuck that. Fuck him. Good for you for doing that.
I mean, he said he used to tour in the 80s with this band.
Nobody
fucking
cares.
And he was like the drummer and all this stuff. But my point is that his interactions with women when he was younger were probably much different.
And worse, I'm sure.
Than the average person because of groupies, tour life, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he has just kind of bulldozed his way with women probably his entire life.
Yeah. So F that. I'm sorry. I'm at that age now where
I don't typically grab like people's property or touch them unwanted. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know. Something just triggered me to be like, this guy's not going to stop.
Because you knew, you literally had it in your gut. You just said it out loud. You knew that words were not going to impact this person's trajectory. So you had to physically change it. You did what you had to do.
But the thing is, like, I didn't even think about it at all. I just grabbed his phone. Like, I don't know. It was just this strange, fuck politeness type of.
That was a listen to reaction. Your gut.
I guess.
Listen
I don't
to your gut move.
Well, and so my one friend was like, oh, I thought he was like homeless. And I'm like, he just yelled that he had $1,000 phone. I'm like, and did you see his watch?
Can we stop making excuses and, for strangers? We don't know anything about them. Just
and then
the worst.
The other friend
point.
Was like, I just feel bad because he was an old man. Like when they're old, I feel bad. I go, as women, can we stop justifying weird behavior, please?
Yes, please.
I'm not justifying his behavior.
No.
I'm not.
No, absolutely not. And I will not. I refuse. Refuse it. I refuse it.
But the funny thing is that when we went to brunch earlier in the day, I had said, because we were sharing stories, like dating stories and stuff. And I was like, and I had said, why as women do we justify men's weird behavior? Like, we really think like, oh, well, maybe he's doing this because of X, Y, and Z, or maybe this is X. And it's not just men. I mean, we do it for everybody, but it seems
it's all
just,
humans.
It is all humans. We were just talking about men at the point. And so basically we had that conversation at brunch. Now it's a couple hours later. And I'm like, I'm going to do a full circle back to our brunch conversation where I am not justifying this man's weird behavior.
No, you can't.
Cannot. Like, I don't. Okay. So he's, even if he is homeless. So,
maybe
so
you should.
I don't know. Like, just because like other people's mental health issues, I am very empathetic of.
For sure.
This guy might have had some issues going on.
He may have.
However, he probably couldn't even hear me over his full blast phone.
Or he didn't care to.
Or he didn't
giving,
care to. I don't know.
You
but
weren't giving
I,
the, him the intention he wanted, I guarantee. That is the reason that he was partially to semi, full on ignoring you when you came back. Because he had his captive audience. He had the other
he
two.
Did. He did, yeah.
So yeah, you've viscerally reacted to this guy being super fucking disrespectful to you on multiple levels. Fuck him.
Yeah. Okay, don't well, thank you. Because all day I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I grabbed somebody's phone. Like, that's not me. Like, I don't.
Next time, slap it out of their fucking hands and then you don't feel bad.
I would feel worse.
Oh, whoops. Oh my gosh, whoops. Yeah, no, F that.
I would feel worse, probably.
F that. Nope, I'm not. Nope. Team Sarah. Yeah. You did just fine. I'm proud of you. Atta girl.
Thank you. Okay, good. Good. It's qualified as an atta girl, even though it was a little.
No, that qualifies. Atta girl.
A little bit, but okay.
You let your gut run this bitch. It worked. Did it not?
It did. It worked.
The entire staff was like, thank God that dude's gone. Fuck him. Like, come on. That alone should have been validation enough for your choices.
Well, thank you. I don't know. I didn't feel bad about it until they were like, oh my God, that was so aggressive.
Meh.
Until
I'm
they were like,
human.
I can't
That's
believe
fine.
You did that. And I'm like,
I did it. I'll do it again. I'll fucking do it again. 20,
I'm like,
20.
I wasn't trying to destroy his phone. I wasn't going to do anything with it.
The point
he
is,
didn't
you
know
didn't,
that, but
you didn't do anything with it. You were good.
No.
So, no, I wouldn't feel bad at all. You provided that man a social opportunity. He neglected it several times, and so you forced it upon him. Whatever.
Oh,
atta
I like
girl.
I like the PC way of saying that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks.
Snaps.
Oh, thank you. I But see, this is the thing. We're in that situation where I knew how you would respond. So I'm mm-hmm. telling the person that I know is going to be on my side.
Yes. Thumbs up again from the universe. Thumbs, because we cannot happening. Figure it
and
out.
And it's like when I have a half a thumb up. Do you
oh,
see?
Oh,
I got
oh.
it. I got it.
You half mass your thumb and look at that.
Yeah, you half mass. And then you get the
It would
full,
probably not work for me at all.
You get the emoji. You can only do a nub in order to get the bubble in your screen.
Chode thumb for the win.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to put this one on YouTube because there's no way anybody's gonna know what the fuck we're talking about.
It's gonna be perfect. Oh wait, do I have an ad? I need to do my ad a girl, hang on. Just kudos. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So my atta girl is I did several things over the weekend. First of all, Saturday, I woke up with this want to do everything, but inability to do everything. And I didn't let it weigh heavily on my shoulders. I just kind of let it roll and did what I could. And then on Sunday, I got up extra super duper motivated and whizzed around the house and did a bunch of my chores. I was able to ship some stuff out. Like, I did all of the things. So I was incredibly productive. And then I also ended up, so like Seth and I, our quality time together is going to be putting Lego sets together. So
that's
Seth,
nice.
Yes. So Seth bought me the Hocus Pocus set, which I'm obviously ignorantly excited about. And he got himself the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System set. And we were starting to put them together. I was like, fuck, where are we going to put this when we're done with it? You know, like these are going to be big things that we're not going to just want to hide. So I spent some serious time rearranging my massive shelving unit. And
oh,
made some
I was
space
like, are you about
everything.
To get a china cabinet for your Legos?
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I spent some time rearranging and organizing some of the existing stuff we have out there so that we could make some space for our Lego journey, which I'm super thrilled about. And ended up like hanging up more stuff and just continuing to organize my space. Oh, the one thing I'm most proud of. I went to the store to get cosmetic stuff for myself, and I went down under my sink and did like a full clean out, like a mass cleaning. Like I haven't touched this shit in a year. It's not gonna get used. It's also cosmetic stuff, so let's just pitch it. So I threw a lot of stuff away this weekend, which I'm proud of.
Good.
Yeah, made space to fill it back up, but stuff I'm gonna use, so there's that. So yeah,
keeping unnecessary stuff, especially things that are like expired. I mean, it's makeup, so it's not that huge of a deal, but it's a bit of a cleanse feel.
Yeah, I feel good. Feeling Gucci about it all.
Good.
Motivated.
Well, if you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe. It helps us a lot with the algorithm if you could
validate Nicole's choices.
Do something for me. You can follow us on Instagram at homance_chronicles, or you can even email us a hoe of history to cover at homancepodcast@gmail.com. You can get your homance merch on my Etsy store, which is nicolebonneville.etsy.com. And if you're feeling freaky, you can join the closed group on Facebook, the Homance Chronicles, a judgment free zone.
Woo woo, homance out. If you're feeling freaky.